We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
That last song, I'll build my life on you. I'll build my life on the rock. I pray that that's your heart's desire. I pray that that's what you're striving for, that you're hungering for, that you're pursuing, is that your life is being built on Christ. Every aspect of it, not just Sunday morning, not just when we come in here or Wednesday night, but that everything. And here's the deal. Let me encourage you. Regularly self-assess, regularly take an inventory, look at you, look at your walk. Are there things there that does not honor Christ? Then it don't need to be there. Are there attitudes and actions and ways and things? Is there stuff? Lord, I want to build my life on you. I want my life to matter for you and for your glory. Remember, now to him who is able to do far more, exceedingly beyond. That's our verse. That's what's guiding us this year is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more, immeasurably more than anything we can think or imagine according to the Spirit of God that works inside of us. Guys, we can have those verses and I can pound. The Spirit of God can pound. But if we're not looking around our lives, if we're not looking around our homes and looking around our friends and looking around our groups and looking around your circle, check your circle. Lord, I want to be everything you want me to be. I want to be completely 100% sold out, surrender to you, and yet there's a bunch of junk there. See, it don't match. It don't match. We got to be careful. Guard yourself. Guard your heart. Guard your walk. Guard your eyes. Check what you hear. Check where you go. Check what you do. Can't be perfect, but we're striving to please him in all aspects of who we are. And there's no telling what God can do. You take a surrendered person who humbles themselves before a holy, infinitely powerful God and just gets out of the way and says, Lord, use me. There's no telling what he can do in you. There's no telling what God can do in you. And there's no limits, remember? Than him who is able to do far more exceedingly beyond anything. There's no telling what God can do. This morning, we're going to look at a character and that sort of fleshes this concept out for us. We'll look at Solomon. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to look at Solomon. And we're going to see the heart of it. Guys, at the end of the day, God sees your heart. God sees your desire. God sees if there's a desire for holiness or you can just kind of go through the motions and could care less. You know, even last 3 or 4 minutes that I'm sitting here talking about, the things we look at, the things we listen to, the places we go, the groups, is there conviction there? And if there's conviction, praise God. Praise God. Because that means the Spirit of God is at work and He is moving in you. And the action is gotta. You know, one thing we hate to do it. There's a word that nobody likes. It's change. Nobody likes change. You know, and what? Here's the deal. You know what most people. Here's the deal about change. I'm gonna tell you a secret about change. Change. People don't like change if somebody else changes them. You see what I'm saying? If I go change Jeff, then he's like, no, you didn't. It's true, right? That's why it flows from inside. But if we as individuals say, you know what, Lord God, if you want me to change, if you want me to if you want me to, see the difference? There's a difference in enforcing change versus an obedient following that there's no other out but to change. God, I want to build my life on you. And you go to God and you are humble and you go before God and you say, Lord, I want every aspect of who I am to be built on you. And the Spirit of God starts convicting you and showing you. And he's like, well, look, that's not a good foundation. That's not a good attitude. That's not a good heart place. And the conviction comes not from an external source, but an internal Holy Spirit move. And he starts working. And then the change comes and brings transformation. That's what we want. There's not a one of us in this room can look at God and say, Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do, but I'm not going to change. I'm going to build my life on you, but I'm going to do it my way. That's foolish. That's what I mean by God sees the heart. It's easy to say words. It's easy to say words. But faith and action, that's what's hard. Hey, I can't come. I can't be there. I got to say no. Sometimes it's okay to say no. You know, hello, hey, what y'all doing? Yeah, we're going to be doing this. You girl, you got to come. Boy, you got to be there, dude. We're going to have a party. You got to be there. No. Whatever. And you know what? You may lose people. That's okay. The Spirit of God's telling me, that this is his desire for me, and I'm going to walk in obedience. I want to walk in obedience to him, not you. I want to walk in obedience and honor and glorify him. I want my life to count for him. I want Christ to be magnified in my life, and I want to make much of him. There's a guy we're going to look at this morning with the we're going to look at Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, little backdrop, Solomon is King David's son. And you say, well, he was a king. Yeah, but what you're going to see here is he was humble. We'll finish it, and I'll kind of connect the dots and show you the rest of the story. But we're going to read a lot this morning. I want you to see it. I want you to see it in your word. Go there. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. Basically, this is where we are. Starting verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. Can you imagine? Actually, last week, what we talked about, now to him who is able to do far more beyond anything that we dream or ask or imagine, immeasurably more, it's basically God looking at each one of us and saying, ask. And this puts instead of us be just free to run and do whatever we want to do, when we connect this, we see that there are guides and there are ways to go about it. Solomon here is king, and God came to him and says, ask whatever you want to. And notice verse 8, he says, he comes down. Actually, look at verse 7. Let's do it all. 7, 8, and 9. Look at what it says here. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. This is a king talking. And he's admitting he's weak. He's admitting I don't have all the answers. He's admitting that he's in over his head. Look at the next verse. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who's able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon here is king. And he says, Lord, I have a need. Stay humble. Stay humble. There's none of us in here a king. Sorry. You're not. You don't have servants. You may have money, but you ain't this level. Stay humble. That's where it starts. We see a guy here who is king, and God says, ask what you want. And he's like, God, I need help. I need help. It's okay to ask. Lord, I don't know how. That's okay. Lord, it's just too much for me. That's okay. God, I want to be in the center of your will, and I want to walk in obedience, and I want to, God, I want to be exactly where you want me to be. And Lord, start, go back all the way to the very beginning. Lord, help me to do an inventory. I don't know how, Lord. I've been doing it for so long, and Noah may not be king, but I feel like a king. I feel like, doggone it, I run this thing. But I need help, Lord. Because I may not be doing it right. I don't know how to do right. Stay humble. Now to him who is able to do far more exceedingly beyond anything you can ask or imagine or dream or hope or wish for, it's according to the power that works inside of us. That's where it comes from. That's the secret. It's Christ in us. Stay humble. Doesn't matter who we are, what our last name is, how much money we have, how many people we can push around, or how much sway our opinions have. Lord, help me. That's where he starts. And notice what God does. Notice God's response. In verse 10, it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord to Solomon to ask this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have asked for yourself, have not asked for yourself long life and riches for yourself, nor have you asked for life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself a discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I've given you a wise and discerning heart so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one be like you arise after you. And notice this. Here's the exceedingly beyond. Here's the mind-blowing part. He was humble in his request. And God didn't just give him what he asked for. He blew his mind. He says, I've also, verse 13, given you what you've not asked. Both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. God's like, I am going to blow you away. I mean, it is going to be amazing what I am about to do in your life. And where did it all start? It started with a simple, here's a king who could do whatever he wanted to, and yet he realized, I can't do nothing without you. That's where we start. And you know, you can do that mental, spiritual reset without the world around you even noticing. You don't have to walk in tomorrow at work or school or wherever and say, oh, turn my life over to Jesus. Whoa, I'm going to surrender. Whoa, I'm fixing to be a new man. You just wait. You don't do that. Stay humble. Stay humble. Don't get on Facebook. Yep, starting a new walk. I'm honest. People do that stupidity. Yep, watch me. Watch me. I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to be a Jesus freak. Shut up. Just shut up. Because here's the deal. We like those attaboys. We like that, man, you doing so good. Y'all, let's sit back and get it from him, not them. Let's just sit back and let us get it from him. We ain't worried about them. Because you know what? He's in a battle, and she's in her own battle, and he's in his own battle, and everyone else is in their own battle. All this here, attaboy, and you're a rock star, and likes and share. Listen, it's good for the flesh, but it don't do much for the spirit. Here's how it's fleshed out. Notice what starts happening. Look at the next verse. I'm going to read a spell. Beginning in verse 16. Here's the story. This happens. Then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were in there together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and laid on him in her bosom, and laid her dead son in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I had borne. Then the other woman said, not for the living one is my son. No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. But the first woman said, no, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, the one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Okay, that's the story. You got these women come to the king, and they're like, here's the deal. You hear it. And notice what the king does. The king said, get me a sword. What? Get me a sword. He's going to fix it. Get me a sword. So they brought the sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, oh no, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. Then the king said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is the mother. When all of Israel heard of the judgments which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Notice who saw it. Guys, here's the deal. No, we don't have to post it on Facebook, but people will notice. No, we don't have, we'll have to walk into the office tomorrow and say, hey, I'm a new man, or go into class and say, watch me. They'll notice. Little by little, things will change. Hey, Lord, I want to build my life on you, and I want to start ridding my life of the junk, and I want to start walking in obedience to you. Things will start happening, and you will start transforming into exactly who he wants you to be, and people will notice. But you know what? You say, hey, Brother Shannon, I'm not a king and I don't have a lot of folks. Folks around you notice. Husband may start seeing it, and wife may start seeing it, and sons and daughters may start seeing it, and brothers and sisters may start seeing it. If it only is seen in the home, that's great. If it's only in your, honestly, be honest, your first line of discipleship, is that, if that's where it starts, and honestly, if that's kind of where it stays, that's okay too. But people start seeing. People in Jerusalem, it said, when all Israel heard of the judgments which the king had handed down, they feared the king. Turn over. Look at chapter 4, verse 29. Notice this. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand is in the seashore. Look at verse 30. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. He's growing. Now, to him who was able to do far more, do you think when Solomon stood there before God in that dream and God said, ask and I'll give you whatever, he's like, Lord, I ain't got a clue what I'm doing. Do you think he saw this coming? No. He didn't have a clue. He had no clue that all of Israel would be looking at him. He had no clue that down the road, all of Egypt and all the kings of the east would be looking his direction. You know what he knew? He just knew he needed help. He just knew he was in over his head. Guys, there's not a one of us in this room that's not in over our head. We can't do this Christian life alone. We can't do this by ourselves. Now, to him who is able to do far more exceedingly beyond anything we can dream or imagine, according to the power of God that's in us. Guys, it's God that's going to do it in you. But keep going. It's not just in Jerusalem and Israel, and it's not just Egypt and all. Turn over. Look at chapter 10. Notice what happens in chapter 10. This just gets out there. Now, when the queen of Sheba, I'm talking, it's growing. When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. That can happen too. Notice her motive. Her motive wasn't pure. Those around us, their motives may not be pure. Discern the spirits, test the spirits, try the spirits. God, I want to walk in a manner pleasing to you. And I look around my life, and when I'm looking around in our lives, and we're looking around the group of people that we're running around, when I'm talking, check your circle. Is that circle edifying and bringing glory to God? Is your circle bringing you closer to Jesus or not? Every individual is thinking about an answer. I'm not judging. No, Brother Shannon, you're judging. No, I'm not. I'm just asking you a question. In the Spirit of God inside of you is showing you one by one who is pulling you away from Christ or who's pulling you to Christ. Queen of Sheba, she came to test him. People like that happen. It's reality. Lord, I want to clearly discern. God, does this bring you glory? Is this good for the kingdom? Does this edify? Does this build up? Or does this pull away? Verse 2. So she came to Jerusalem with a large, we're going to call that a caravan. We're going to call that an entourage. We're going to call that a whatever it says on the screen. What's it say? A retinue? What's it say? A very large retinue. I learned first service what that meant. We're going to call that an entourage or something because you don't know what it says either. I ain't never in my life owned a retinue. I've seen retin-A. Ain't that stuff you put on for bumps or whatever? All right, keep going. You're distracted so easily. She came with her entourage, all these people, camels and stuff, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters in their attire, his cupbearers and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land." Queen of Sheba done showed up. Word done got out. Now to him who is able to do far more exceedingly beyond anything we can ask or dream or imagine, guys, there's no cap on what God can do in your life. There's no limit. There's no limit. Where does it start? It starts with "I can't," but you can. It starts with "Lord, I don't even know what to do." And he's like, "It's exactly where I want you to be. I want you to be surrendered and willing to do whatever I need you to do." I bet you when he asked that question, he had no clue the Queen of Sheba would come knocking at his door. Had no clue. But it happened. Verse 8. "How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore,
He made you to do justice and righteousness. She went from testing him to doggone it praising the Lord. Notice this. Started out them two women that led to Israel, that led it to Egypt and all the kings of the east. And notice where it goes to. Verse 23. So Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And all the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear the wisdom which God had put in his heart. Guys, there's absolutely no limit on what God can do in you. Here's the deal. I'm not talking church stuff. I'm not talking church building stuff. I'm not talking staff stuff. I'm not talking corporate. I'm talking individually you stuff. I'm talking about you stuff. There's no limit in what God can do in your life. Now, to him who is able to do far more in you, God's got to do it. Stay humble. I said it earlier. I thought about you. I thought about football. I thought about sports. Every time I stand up here and I'm saying it, I've said it a lot this morning, first service, and even now, stay humble. But there's something else that just keeps coming to my mind because there's the rest of it. Stay humble yet hungry. Guys, that's where we're to be. We're to be humble before the Lord, but hungry. I want to do for you, God. I want to stay humble. I don't want to run ahead of you. I want to stay in the center of your wheel. I want to be humble. God, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to do something. I don't know how to do it, but I want to do something. God, I just want my life. Think about the rest of this life, rest of your life. The rest that you have. Some of us, this group, a bunch of young folks everywhere. Statistically, they got a long time. And then some of us statistically have about half time. And then some of us statistically have a little bit left. But it don't matter whether it's a lot or a little. I want the rest of it to matter for you and your kingdom and your glory. God, I want me. I want my life. I don't know how to do this life. I don't know how to be a daddy. I don't know how to be a mama. I don't know how to be a husband. God, I want to be the best husband. And here's what you do. Here's how it works. You can't think about the past. You can't think about, well, yeah, but I was a mess up yesterday. I was a jerk yesterday. I was a rear end yesterday. We all were. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I wasted a lot of time. God, use me. Will Queen of Sheba knock on our door? Probably not. There's no telling what could happen. There's no telling what could happen when we surrender. When we start assessing, when we start looking around. And here's the deal. Before we go off and put on Facebook, whoa, Solomon's the greatest man to ever live. Now let's fix him real quick. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to humanize him real quick? Look at the next chapter. Look at the next chapter. Look at chapter 11. Before you go off Solomon worshiping, let's fix this real quick. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Guess what Solomon was? He was human like the rest of us. King Solomon loved many foreign women, and it names them all from the nations, verse 2, which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods.
And notice what it says. Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 of them. Are you kidding me? That sucker's a nut. Don't you dare go all thinking Solomon's something else. He's messed up just like the rest of us. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. We can read about him. If every single one of us could get on Facebook or text or call or message or something, we'd say, Solomon, stop. But we can't call Solomon, but we can look at our own lives. Let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. It's easy to throw stones at an idiot and totally ignore the real idiot. When we're talking about inventorying and assessing and surrendering, we're talking about looking at it all. We're talking about examining everything. It's easy to say, Solomon, one's enough, 700, or have you lost your mind, brother? One was a sin, 700 is still a sin. I'm no worse, and I'm no better. So could an assessment be, check who you're talking to, check who you're texting, check who you're calling. Guys, who are you calling? Who are you spending time with? Who are you running after? Girls? Ladies, what's your passions? What's your pursuits? What's your hungers? What is it? I'll build my life on Christ. I want to build my life on Christ. I want to build my life on Christ. I want to build my life on Christ, all the while keeping cancer all in it. I want to build my life on Christ, all the while ignoring the things that are fundamentally opposed to the Word of God. I want to build my life. I want to totally surrender. God, I am humble and hungry, yet I am going to still overlook the sin and rebellion in my life. This is where it starts, is God, I'm broken. I messed up. I need help. I have fallen tendencies. I have this flesh. I have these pursuits and these passions and these desires and these things that just do not honor and glorify you. God, forgive me. Paul three times prayed that God would remove it, and God said, look, in your weakness, I'm strong. It's okay to be weak. It's okay to admit, Lord, I'm hungry for the wrong things. It's okay to admit, God, I'm broken. Because there's no telling what God can do with that. That's true humility. That's true brokenness. That's truly desiring to walk in a manner worthy of the King. Now to him who is able to do far more, immeasurably more than any of us can think or dream or ask, to him be the glory in Christ Jesus and in the church. Father God, you see us. You know us. Help us, God. Forgive us. Forgive us of our failures. Forgive us of our rebellion. Forgive us, God, for it's so easy to clean off others' porches and ignore our own trash. It's so easy to pick the splinters out of everyone else's eye and totally ignore the plank in our own. God, create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within us. God, remove from us. I pray in the name of Jesus over every one of us that you would rebuke Satan. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. I bind you in by the blood of the Lamb in the hope of glory. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority over us. God, free us to run after you. God, free us and release us to just pursue you with all of our hearts, God. God, we don't want to disobey. We don't want to rebel. We don't want to do nothing but simply honor you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the spirit that's inside of us, for the power that's doing the work in us. God, we lift you up. We lift you up. God, transform us. Each one of us, God, transform us from grace to grace to grace to grace. Do it. Do it, God. Do it in each one of us. And Lord, if the world never comes knocking at our door, God, one of these days we're going to enter into glory and hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's all that matters. The audience is not the world. The audience is you. We're not here to please men. We're not men pleasers. We are here to simply honor you. We give you the praise for what you're going to do and continue to do in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.